Thank you, Brother Tommy, for our song selection today, leading us in the praises to God, and for all of you that helped us get the service going and participated today, we thank you as well. Chuck, who puts everybody and gets everybody in place, and sometimes that's a tough job. We thank you as well, Chuck, for running those down and all your little helpers that help you run down those that run faster than you. Get so they can come up here and take care of different things. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto him be glory in the church, through Christ Jesus. Everybody says, amen. The glory is to be found in him. Now we're talking about renewal. I'm a slow preacher. You already know that. Sometimes I write a sermon and it drags on for 2 or 3 weeks because I can't seem to get through them. Somebody says, why don't you throw some of those notes out? I say, because they're too important. So, you remember what we quoted or what we read from last week? Well, actually, we've been talking about for several Sundays, really from the book of Psalms, over in chapter 85, I do believe, at verse 6. Wilt thou revive us again? We even sing a song about revive us again, don't we? That your people may love you, that they may serve you, that they may praise you. And it's so important for us as the members of the body of Christ, for those who leave here and go out into the world, for us to remember how very blessed we are, is that we have the opportunity to be completely renewed each and every day of our life. We're free from our sins because of what God has done for us. And I don't think we should ever get tired of hearing about what God has done for us so that we can remember that there are others who have yet to hear that story, that message, that God loves them, that God wants to forgive them, and for them to have an opportunity of renewal. Now, unless you're a teenager, how many of you like to take a shower? I mean, you know, when you're dirty, you like to take a shower. I've left you teenagers out because, well, you know why. There's something about a shower and a fresh set of clothes that makes a person feel renewed, huh? Yeah, even when you're in the tiredest of places, sometimes that can lift your spirits for an hour or two, just to be clean and to have a fresh set of clothes on, and you can start out freshly and anew. We quoted to you from this great passage in the book of Romans because we love this passage, don't we, brethren? Romans chapter 12. It says so much about who we're supposed to be. I urge you, brothers, writes the Apostle Paul, and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And do not conform yourself, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed, here we go, by what? By renewal. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Last Lord's Day, we spent time talking about what I think, of course, is one of those areas that we all need help with, and that's with our faith. We all know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things we do not see. think you'll find that in the book of Hebrews somewhere, right? Chapter 11, Bob, verse 1. And of course, without faith, it's in what? Impossible? It's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We all believe that. Everybody say amen. We know God is going to reward us, and we're not in it for just the reward. We're in it because we love God. We love what he's done for us. And we learn and we know and we hope that we practice that faith cometh by hearing, not earring, hearing. I don't wear an earring, so I wasn't pointing at an earring. Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing is of by the Word of God. Now, brethren, I'm not harping on you. I'm not trying to browbeat you, but read your Bible sometime each and every day. You'll be amazed what that does for your faith. Because I've already just emphasized what God says He will build your faith up with, and that's with His Word. So you must be in it for that to grow. Amen? I hope I can encourage you to do those things. God says it, I believe it, that settles it. Maybe some of you have seen those kind of slogans before. I love this verse over in John chapter 20 because of how much it encourages me about the Word of God. In chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle John says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life in his name." Now, that's basically where we kind of left off last week. And I want to just encourage you with this before I move into the concept of focus. And that is, if you will read the Old Testament stories, I believe you will conclude this, that courage of conviction does not go unnoticed by God. There are stories after story that show that those who are courageous about their faith, their conviction about their faith, that God does not leave them behind. He takes them with. He takes them with him. I want you to remember that. Because, you see, God is committed to helping us through life and its trials and tribulations that come our way, as opposed to just delivering us from them. Did you hear that? There's a big difference from the idea of God. Maybe you're praying, "God, take this whole thing away." Isn't that the way Jesus prayed on the cross? "If there's another way, Lord, take it away." But you see, God, his Father, delivered him through the trial, not necessarily from the trial. Remember that when you're being attacked, because you will be, because that's what Satan does. And you know what, brethren? People, just like what's going on in our great state of Texas right now, I've heard it said already and you've heard it said. I'm just getting it from somebody else, but if Hurricane Harvey wanted to try anybody, Texas was the place to come. Because we'll overcome him. Texas is the only place I know that is strong enough and powerful enough that no matter what comes its way, it overcomes it and becomes even greater because of it. And I believe that that's because we have so many people who believe in God and are empowered by what God can do through us. That's why we help each other through these trials. And people see God's power best when they see God in us. So, I know it's easy standing up here in Northeast Texas to say, you know, Harvey's been here and gone. Well, the remnants are still there. But we're going to dig in and going to do whatever we can to help them recover, aren't we? Because that's what we do. Because we believe in helping those who are in need. And brethren, I believe that that is faith being shown. And listen, just like the children over in the book of Daniel before the fiery furnace. You remember that story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Those three brothers over there? You see, God was powerful there. And you remember what their statement was? Their statement to Nebuchadnezzar was, even if God doesn't deliver us from the fire, He will. He may not do it right now. It may not be right here. Am I right about this, folks? God will. And that's where our hope is in God who delivers us in the end. No matter what. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have God's blessing and His focus upon you. All right. Our scripture for today comes to us from the book of Matthew. I think it's fixing to come up on the screen sometime there, isn't it, Wayne? Thank you, bud. It's in Matthew chapter 22. This is an interesting thing that takes place here. Because Jesus is using an everyday occurrence that happens, a question that came His way. And I believe it plays a tremendous role in keeping you and me, all of us, focused on what God wants His people to be focused upon. The Pharisees went and they plotted together how that they might trap Him. They wanted to trap Him in what He said. And they sent their disciples to Him along with the Herodians saying, Teacher, we know that You are truthful and teach the way of God in truth. No wonder a bolt of lightning didn't get them on the spot, right? Anyway, and defer to no one, for You are not partial to any. Sounding pretty pious here. They're speaking a great truth, even though they don't really believe it. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not? Jesus perceives their malice and He says, Why are you testing Me, you hypocrites? Show Me the coin used for the poll tax. And they brought Him a denarius. And He said to them, Whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. And then He says to them, Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to the things that are God, and to God the things that are God's. And hearing this, they were amazed. Leaving Him, they went their way. Brethren, this is the real focus of serving God. This is the concept that we must keep close to our hearts. Focus, you see, plays this large role in our success in exercising our faith each day. You know that focus, of course, is the idea of the center of activity. Now, nowadays, we've gotten so many improvements in photography that unless you spend a lot of money for a really expensive camera, you probably don't even bother with your iPhone nowadays. All you got to do is just take it out and snap it. And most anybody can get a picture that can eventually come out clear, even if you have to touch it up a little bit, right? But you'll notice that the people that are taking pictures seriously, they've got a camera that will help them focus on exactly what they want to be able to see or take a picture of. And that's very important because when we're wanting a remembrance, we're wanting something that will last. And that's why they have that ability to do that. Some of them have automatic focus. Some of them do not. They have to do it manually. But they want to make sure that everything's in focus. Now, my mother used to be, this was a big family joke. We never let my mother take pictures after a while. We just hid her camera from her. And we did the picture taking because there was never anybody's heads in the picture. I'm serious about that. I mean, she would take a whole bunch of pictures and we'd say, you know, back in those days, it wasn't iPhone days. You know, we didn't look at it immediately. It had to go to the photographer and get developed. You know, and here came back these pictures with a lot of necks. Well, we knew who this was because, you know, that's Uncle So-and-so's tie. I think that must be him. You know. So, it's important. There's an importance somewhere along the line for us to keep our focus on what we need to be doing. You see, the power to be able to hone in on what's important is what stands out in our daily life. Now, I know that perception plays also a major role, and I don't want to leave that out, but the idea that everybody understands, in fact, in our Bible class this morning, our Bible teacher forced us, literally forced us after we read a passage for us to tell him what was the perspective of what was being written. How did what was being written have anything to do with all of the folk and even us? And then how did that affect the focus of it? Well, we had to scratch our heads and go, okay. But we managed to do it. And you can, I know as well. But we must not forget what we are about. Over at the bank, their focus is going to have something to do with getting the signature on the bottom line. That's the business focus, isn't it? That's closing the deal. We need some signatures on the bottom line. That's what they're looking for. Out in California, I did a lot of lower school, some high school coaching. And we had a team called the Eagles. And I told them that after one particular game that I was going to change their name from the Eagles to the Possums. And that was because they played dead at home and got killed on the road. They didn't deserve to be called eagles that fly around and soar. I said, you all are more like possums. You're asleep at home and get run over when we get out on the road. We've got to maintain our focus. I'm not just trying to be funny here. I'm trying to say to you that in a daily life, it's easy to lose sight of what really is the most important thing. Because there are so many things that are going on around us. We have to remember who we are. We are the children of God. And as an individual, as a child of God, I want to continue to serve Him. I think that you can probably list more than this, but the focus of myself, Bob, as an individual, is the important area. And you put your name in there. focus on your faith has to do with you. You cannot inherit a faith. You can be taught and you can see and learn about faith, but faith that matters to you has to be your faith. Can't be mine. Can't be somebody else's. It can't be mom and dad's. It has to be your faith. And we know that we're told over and over again in Scripture that we are to imitate God. Paul says, imitate me. Why? But because he was imitating the right thing in Christ. Or in the book of Ephesians, he says, mimic God or be like God. You see, the new self is to be created to be like God. Ephesians 4, verse 24. That is the idea. That is what Jesus was saying to them when he says, hand me that coin. Whose picture's on the coin? They said it was Caesar's. Well then, pay your taxes. But you render to God what belongs to God. And whose image are you made in? I know, you've been doing your ancestry research stuff. Amazing how some of those other folks look like you. You think, gosh, I thought there was only one of us that looked this bad, but there's a bunch of folks that look like this. Well, hey, the idea is that faith is an individual thing. We are made in the image of God. We are not, or Christianity, let's put it that way, is not conforming. Remember what the verse said in Romans 12? Be not conformed to this world. And we think naturally of the worldly thing. But you see, you're supposed to be transformed. When the preacher gives information, it's supposed to transform us. It's supposed to be for transformation. Not for you to write it all down and then memorize it and quote it and say, here's the information. Well, that's great, and I'm happy you're able to do that, but the most important thing is for you to live it, for it to become a part of you, so that you can be more like God, and that you can focus on what God wants you to do. It's not the idea of conforming to a bunch of do's or don'ts, but rather it is striving to be like God created us in His image, to be like Him. John 17 and verse 3, there have been a number of songs that were written, and they used this verse even in the song itself. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I don't know how many different religious groups that I have heard that have sung a song that will have that verse in one of the verses of their song. Because they know becoming like God is, without a doubt, one of the most important things we will ever do. If we love like God, if we will forgive like God, everything and every other relationship will fit together exactly the way it's supposed to be. If we learn to be like God, love like God, forgive like God. I know relationships break down, but if we live like God, which is, if we love like God, which is an unconditional kind of love, and forgive like Him, which is completely, there is no relationship on the face of this earth that we cannot maintain. It's not always easy, but in order for that to happen, you must focus upon becoming like God. Then you must live to His honor and to His praise. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, you've got your Bible. Why don't you look there just a minute? And I just want to point out to you in some verses here. In the very beginning here, in chapter 1, verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in what? What does your version say? Does it say love? To be holy and without blame and before Him in love. And down at verse 6 it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. The praise of the glory of His grace. And at verse 12, He says again, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That's what we're about. We are to show the Father the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. If you don't have that one memorized, at least colored in your Bible. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. A peculiar people, that is a people dedicated to God, that's what that means. That you should show forth what? The praises of Him who hath called him out of darkness into His marvelous light. I will serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. I was nothing before You found me. Number 605. You have given life to me. Broken pieces, ruined lives are why You died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. Sing it one more time. I will serve You because I love You. You have given life to me. I was nothing before You found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why You died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. Living to honor and to praise God. And that ought to be revealed in our conduct. You know, in our society, God is no longer really the Father. He's like the grandfather in our society. And you know what grandfathers do? They love their grandchildren, but they really don't discipline their grandchildren. They assume that's going to be the job of the parents. How's that working out, by the way? Anyway, they need help, don't they? People think about God and they think of Him as this, of this person that never disciplines or never does anything that would raise a hand. And that, by the way, you know that grandchildren, of course, are our reward for not having killed your own kids, okay? I hope you realize that. It's a great opportunity for you to get over that, you know. Say, well, I'm glad we hung through there. Yeah, they're precious. But therefore, and I'm talking about in our society, not talking about what I believe, but since God doesn't discipline, they can't conduct themselves. They can conduct themselves any way they want to, and it's going to be okay. So a lot of our children and grandchildren got raised, and they didn't have any limits put on them. You know that our world wants everything to be light, from Pepsi Light to Crystal Light and Bluebell Light, and, you know, I'm just asking you, who gets the praise in your life? Who gets the praise in your life? And is it the full praise? Are you still over on the light side? God is looking for you. That's not Uncle Sam's motto. That's you. That's who God is looking for. It's you. It tends to spill over in our own assemblies, and we tend to make them like it's an athletic contest. And if I'm wrong about this, you can correct me, but you'd be wrong. It spills over all the time. We grade the preacher, we grade the song leader, we grade the scripture reader. Oh, the communion service, as though it should have pleased us. Not the audience. It's about God. It's not about us. I'm serious. I love it when it goes the way I like it to, but that's not who is supposed to get pleased. It's God who's supposed to be pleased. And when it comes from your heart, from your faith, that's been developed by His Word, He will be pleased with us. I know we all want to improve our symbol. When I think about Isaiah standing before the altar, I wonder what it will be like, Tom, on that day when we're actually there face to face with him. I think we'll be more like Isaiah was, who said, I am a man with unclean lips. I shouldn't even be here. You know that God took care of him. You know, you can write down all the mission statements in the world you want to write down. But that's not going to get you there. It's when you start becoming the mission statement that really counts. You've got to be the mission statement. Hey, I love you. We have to focus on our conduct. I want to encourage you to have a great week. Do something good for other people. See if it doesn't lift your spirits. Remember that you are living for the praise and the honor and the glory of God, not for you or your fellow man, but for God. I know that's always a little touchy for us, and we're not necessarily sure about how to go about doing it. But when we strive to achieve what God wants from us, God will be pleased when it comes from us. you're here this morning and you have yet to be buried in the waters of baptism, I wish you'd read your book and find out that these are culmination points of your faith that God has commanded us to do and to participate in. To repent and be ready to serve Him in any way. You may just want to get your life back on track and get your focus where it should be. Let us pray with you. Let us encourage you to live that kind of life. Why don't you come while we stand and sing?